more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Friday. Wow, such a different day. We're down to 53 right now and cloudy. Thanks for joining us on WILS. Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin with me. Tonight, we will hear about a proposal to make Michigan a part-time legislature. The proposal is to cut the amount of days legislators meet in Lansing to just 90 days a year. How realistic is that? Also, Anthony Weiner today crying in court, admitting and pleading guilty to sexting with a 15-year-old girl. We'll hear from one of the country's top experts on addiction and sexual behavior to try to understand what went wrong with him. Let's begin, though, with the news that we're going to be talking about all weekend. Donald Trump, President Trump, now heading off to Saudi Arabia. In fact, Sunday morning, our time, he's going to be speaking in front of about 50 Muslim leaders talking about Islam. Everyone's waiting to hear what he's going to say. What should he say? Ghassem Iqbari is with us, a certified Sharia lawyer and Islamic expert for the Supreme Court of Iran, where he lived for most of his life till he came to the U.S., author of books like Honor Killing and New Jihadists in Islam. Ghassem, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and you know, I know your name is also Daniel. Is that your Christian name that you took on? Or?
Yes, Daniel is my Christian name, yeah.
Do you prefer Daniel or Ghassem, or how do you prefer to be called?
I go by Daniel normally. That's fine.
Okay, let's do Daniel then. And that, was it an issue to leave Iran when you left? Was there any issue with that?
I left Iran about 17 years ago. I went to Turkey when I became Christian. Then I had to go back to Iran again. Then I came to the United States in 2008, about 9 years ago.
Really? And there wasn't any problem with you leaving Iran that didn't hassle you at all?
Yeah, at that time I had to because, you know, when you convert, and it's going to become problematic, dealing with the Iranian regime.
Right, so when you converted, you went back to Iran, people knew you had converted to being a Christian?
I was tortured. My left shoulder was kind of dislocated, many trouble, and I was under bond when I came out of the United States.
Jeez. You were tortured because you were a Christian?
Yes. Okay. When I was kind of like deported from Bulgaria, we went to Bulgaria to become refugees. They deported us to Iran, and when the Iranian regime knew it, they tortured me and dislocated my left shoulder.
Jeez. And that's not because they thought you were a spy. That's because you just converted. That was it. So did you have to tell them? Did you have to somehow renounce your Christianity for them to stop? Or?
Yes, I had to. It's a simple fact thing. You know, I cannot just lie.
Wow. And then you had to sneak out of the country after that?
Yes, in 2008. Yes.
Okay. Wow, that's quite a story. Daniel Iqbari with us. So Daniel, President Trump is going to be in Saudi Arabia. What should he really say about Islam? What should he tell these 50 Muslim leaders?
The issue with President Trump now is so complicated, especially, you know, what he said when he was running the campaign for presidency, saying things about Islam. If we try to say today that, oh, at that time, you know, he was a candidate, and now as a president, we deny all we said. That's going to become also problematic with the conservatives who voted in the United States. But he has to say something good about Islam, or at least kind of like deny or kind of walk back from what he said during his campaign.
Was he? Do you feel he offended Muslims by what he said about Islam?
The thing is, yes, we have to say yes, because the majority of Muslims, they don't like it. They don't want, for example, the religion to be kind of insulted. But the thing is, when at that time President Trump said so, now has to stick with that idea, but says, I meant Islamism when I went to Islam. When I said Islam at that time, I meant Islamism, not Islam.
Okay, because what he said, well, I think to paraphrase, he said that Islam had a problem with Western societies, right? Was that a sense?
Yeah, the only solution is to say, I meant Islamism when I said Islam at that time. My point, my mindset was to say Islamism.
Okay. Is there,
that's probably the only thing that can cover it up.
Is there any kind of criticism that he should have for Islamicism? Should he express that when he's there?
If he says so, even though Christians or conservatives in the United States are not going to like it, I don't say Christians, mostly conservatives are not going to like it, but conservatives understand that he has to deal with the whole world and has to walk back from what he said as a candidate.
Okay. Is that the place where he should address Islamism, and should he tell these leaders they need to fight Islamism more than they are?
I think what he has to say is just focusing on Islamism and Islamists rather than Islam and Muslim, because, you know, those two terms has many different meanings, like cultural Islam or many other things, that it's going to become problematic in dealing with all other countries in the Middle East.
Daniel Akbari with us. He's a former Iranian Islamic Sharia lawyer. When you were Muslim in Iran, before you converted, did you have any, I mean, did you hate America yourself at that point? Or?
Iranians are a bit different because in Shah time, Iran and the United States, they were best friends. The majority of Iranians have a good, you know, understanding toward the United States. They don't hate Americans, but the regime doesn't like it. And also other Islamic countries, they don't like it. Sometimes, even if in a specific period of time, they are friends with the United States, the Kurdish people, then because of politics, the United States has to cut the support from those people and support their enemies. Okay. Those people also become our enemy, the Kurdish people. We have to support Turkish against Kurdish people now. If in the future we might make those people to become our enemies, right. Even though we are allies.
You can't win. You support the Kurds and the Turkish folks get upset, right? I mean, it's so complicated there. So when you look at the issue that exists between Iran and Saudi Arabia, where President Trump is going to be, how do you see him addressing the problems between those two, the Sunni and the Shia sects?
Saudi Arabia, they don't count Iranians as Muslims. For sure. They say you are Shia and you are not Muslim at all. So this travel ban is not going to offend them. They say, oh, you are going to ban Iranians. That's fine. They are not Muslim. So it's not a Muslim travel ban against Muslims in general, because they are rivals in the, you know, in the region and fight for power. And Saudi Arabia, they hate Iran, they hate Iranians, and they don't like them at all. So the Obama administration, when they supported that agreement, the nuclear program agreement, they were offended. Now they might be kind of like happy if President Trump kind of like be more pro, not dealing with Iran.
How much do you, Daniel? How much do you yourself trust Iran to abide by the nuclear agreement?
I think Iran is toward becoming a nuclear power. They want to go to that situation because other than that, they cannot survive. They have to become strong enough like North Korea. So the United States or other superpowers are not going to mess with them so they can survive forever.
So what should we do at this point? If that's where they're heading, should we stop that process?
You know, the thing is, the United States is not united. They, you know, because of partisanship, they have to be careful, and because they are careful, they are not going to get involved into any war with Iran or North Korea, and they know that. That's why they misuse it, and they don't care about what the United States say, and they go ahead with their program.
Yeah. I mean, I know you. Obviously, you grew up. You're from Iran. Do you view them as a dangerous country?
The regime is dangerous. Not Iranians, but the regime is, and Iranians are captivated by them. And in general, yes, they want to be the superpower in the region and ultimately in the world.
Okay.
And they are heading toward nuclear power.
They're heading there.
Bomb.
Okay. But Daniel, they're having an election today in Iran. Are those in any way real elections?
Oh, that election is just a joke because the president doesn't have any power. The real power is in the hand of the supreme leader. So whatever the supreme leader says, it's always constant. No matter who becomes president, it's not going to make a big change.
So basically, when you were there, you were voting, you essentially thought it was a joke to vote?
Yes, you know, from beginning I knew it because Iranians all knew that the supreme leader makes the ultimate decision, and it's crazy to even vote.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. So I mean, that sounds pretty dire. So they're going to end up being a nuclear power. That sounds like we're in for some serious trouble. Is that your prediction here?
I think that's why the United States tried to destroy the country from inside by supporting the opposition rather than getting involved into a real war with Iran, because Iran can attack Qatar, Bahrain, and all those countries in the region and probably destroy half of them, and the United States doesn't want that.
Yeah, so, okay. Is that happening at all? I mean, is there opposition there getting any kind of support that you can tell?
used to, in two times opposition, were in power and they were trying to get the power, but the United States did not support them, and the regime successfully suppressed all those protests. Hmm.
It's Daniel Aghbari, certified Sharia lawyer, Islamic expert. He lived in Iran, fortunately was tortured after he converted to Christianity, thankfully escaped, and he is here in the U.S. now. Daniel Aghbari on WILS. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you so much, sir.
Yep, it's been insightful.